Hey Shavat, Monday the 6th of January, Reb Dudi Rosenberg, Monhi or Money?
The Pusik starts, Vayoyim Hashem el Moshe, Hineni imamti luchem lechem en ha-shumayim, v'yotzi yom v'loktit v'ayoyim b'yoyimol. The Torah introduces this phenomenal, magical concept of lechem en ha-shumayim, which we refer to as Mon. What was the purpose of this miracle? And why did the Rebbein Shalom specifically bring Mon? The Torah gives a reason in the Pusik itself. And Torah says, Leman anaseni hayelech beserusi imloi, which means that I will be able to test the Jewish nation, will they follow in my laws or not? It's worthwhile noting already at this point that Torah and Mon are synonymous, and they're brought together. Leman yelech beserusi, hayelech beserusi imloi. The Sepona picks this up too. Rashi says, explains the Pushat Pshat in the Pusik, hayelech beserusi, that the Seirus we're referring to are to do and are appertaining with the dinim of Mon, with two things in specific. One, that they will adhere to the mitzvahs associated with the Mon by not leaving any overnight. And two, not going out on Shabbos in search of the Mon. The Ramban and the Rashbam, however, bring the famous phenomenon in association with Mon as being a key to a minna and betuchen in the Eibishter. Whereby, a Yid raises his eyes towards heaven in total dependence for the sustenance. And subsequently, Hayalech Peserusi Imloi, they will believe and follow the Rebbein Shloilom statutes. So we have so far Rashi, Ramban, and the Rashbam, and the Torah's own explanation. Now we bring Mon in association with Emunah, then, all being well, we'll go on to the association of Mon and Torah, and ultimately we will go with the association of Mon and the Chet of Udo Morish. The Kli Yukah expounds more on the relevance of Mon to Emunah. Not leaving over Mon is proof that a person is complete in his Midas HaBetuchah. Someone who has Pas Pesaloi and yet asks questions, what will I eat tomorrow? Chazal referred to him in the Gemur and Soite as Miktane Emunah, somebody who has a diminished amount of trust in the Rebbeinu Shloilah. Similarly, the proof of a Bala Minna is not going in search of the Mon on Shabbos with the confidence that they will, what they collected on Friday will suffice for Shabbos as well. It's perhaps an insight that Shmiras Shabbos is not an ikuv to Panusa, which was very much the thought when Eaton came from Russia and from Poland to America and even to Europe. Furthermore, a person who is lacking in Emina is forever consumed with making more and more money. His account may be bursting with funds, but another £1 million can't do any harm. When will he have time to learn Torah? His time is fully committed to making money. Yesh lo emuna roitze musayim. So I heard that the touch is yesh loy muna. If it's up to him to have made that first 100, and he believes that he was instrumental in making that first 100, that's the man who is roitze musayim. He never ever becomes satisfied. So the question is, as a title, is it monhi or is it money? Is it a symbol of trust in the Rebbein Shloilem, or belief, the belief in the almighty dollar? In God we trust, but everyone else pays cash. Geld is nicht alles, they say. You know, there's checks, there's bonds, there's credit cards. But in Yiddish there's a saying, Geld is nicht alles, ob es beruhigt die Nerven. It placates, money lulls one into a false, superficial sense of security. Let's contemplate for a moment what it means to open an empty fridge, a cupboard in the larder, void of any food whatsoever. This is what the Yid faced in the Midbar every evening. No midnight snacks, nothing whatsoever, until the next day. After the war, a story is recorded of women, survivors, sitting in Antwerp, in a restaurant. The waiter came to clear the table at the end of the meal. As the bread basket was about to be removed, one lady beckoned the waiter to leave it. The waiter asked her, "Madam, you finished your meal, haven't you?" But she explained to him that having the bread basket on the table had a comforting and therapeutic value just to see it, even though she wasn't going to eat it. The Yidden that left Mitzrayim were survivors too. The complete absence of food per se in their tents and in their vicinity was a very significant nesoya. My father, Lev Shulam, recalled his earliest memories in Poland as a very young child before they moved to Berlin, that he was handed a piece of bread from his mother for breakfast. He was still hungry and he asked if he could have another piece. He could only recall the view of her silhouette in a shadowed kitchen and tears rolling down her cheek. Instinctively, he realized that he'd said something wrong, and he tried to rectify it by saying, "Ich bin schon nicht hungrig, Mama, ich bin schon nicht hungrig. I'm really not hungry anymore." And that is a little insight into what it was to have no food in the time of the Midbar, nothing, with families, with lots of children, trusting for the tomorrow. Pusik says, Vayanchu in Dvurim, Vayanchu vayarivechu vayachilchu esamon. Vayanchu, and tormented you, so to speak, vayarivechu, he caused you hunger, vayachilchu esamon, and he gave you to eat the mon. What is the juxtaposition of these two things? Where does the hunger and the mon come to be together? So there's a Welt which is said that the Gemur brings down in Yima that every person was determined in his tzidkus and the madraiga that he was by where the mon actually fell. If he was a tzaddik, came to his doorstep. If he wasn't, then he had to go out to the machne to look for it. A person who was on a higher level, and now, at this point, he had done something, obviously, which had caused the mon to now shift its position, came out in the morning and found that the mon wasn't there. He says to his wife, "You know, Rechel, if I'm going out now, and then a halbe Stunde is going to start asking me, 'Oh, Yankli, what did you do today? I see you had to go and run looking after your mom to the machne, to the other side. What happened? Was a stinky in the mushel? So he says, "You know what? I prefer not to face all these questions. Hard fastman. Today, we're not eating. Better than answering all these questions." And that was the essence of the mon. Vayancho, vayarivechu, he caused you hunger and tormented you. Why? Because vayachilchu was a mon, because the mon was a telltale, and everything around it indicated where the person was on his madrage. The Chofetz Chaim's famous word, which is an anecdote which people know, Shimon Schwab apparently went to him, als Buche, and they asked the Chofetz Chaim, what was the story with mon with regards to people that thought whatever food and delicacy they wished to associate with the mon, and they could actually taste that food in their mouths. But if they didn't taste of anything, they didn't think of anything, they didn't think of any particular food, so they asked the Chofetz Chaim, "So what taste did it have?" So Chofetz Chaim in Yiddish says, "Am tracht nicht, hot kam tam nit." In other words, if a person doesn't think, then it's hot nicht kam tam. That was the Chofetz Chaim's famous line. Now we go to the subject of mon and teure. Hayelech beseirusim loy. The Kliyukos says, on a different slant, on a second slant, that there are two impediments that prevent the person from acquiring teure. One is internal, and the other one is external. Internally, a person is affected by good, rich, succulent, tasty and sumptuous food. Heavy rib steaks and chips are not synonymous with the purity and the loftiness of Torah. The total opposite is Moshe Rabbeinu, who to receive the Torah records Lechem lo yuchalti, imayim lo yishusisi, which is on the ultimate level when he becomes completely celestial, completely elevated from physical needs. That's the internal, says the Klayuka. Externally, the pursuit of panusa impedes a person from learning Torah. As we all know, 9 to 5, we're at it. Ala michyu v'ala kalkulu, trying to earn a living. The mom, like our British milkman, was dropped to the doorstep every single day. Not a moment was wasted in the pursuit of parnusa. So therefore, says the Kliyuka, both these things were addressed by the mom. Internally, because of the refinement of the food, which was synonymous with learning Torah, and externally, if a person didn't have to run after a living all day and he had it there first thing in the morning, then of course he had more time to pursue the pursuit of Torah. So today is the Yutzat of the Sfasemes, so we can't possibly miss that out, who says that the purpose of the mon was to prepare Yidden for Kabbalas HaTorah. Eating the mon made Yidden like Maluchem. It's described as Lechem Abirem. The Gemara says in Yime, we haven't reached yet in the Daf HaYomi, but there's about a blatt and a half on the subject of mon. They call it Lechem Abirem Shemalachei Hashureis Oichlim Oisei. This is, so to speak, the sustenance and the food, per se, of Maluchem. Torah is heavenly. Mon is also heavenly. Eating the mon was a process of spiritual refinement preceding Kabbalas HaTorah. There's a famous Mechilta which says, Loi nitnu Torah elo lo'ichle hamon. Torah was something which was exclusive to those which ate the mon. The Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe kibbel Torah Mesinai. He brought the Torah from Shemayim down to the ground. Atem re'isem ki min ha-shemayim dibati muchem. The mon, too, came from above to below. Hine nimamti luchem lechem min ha-shemayim, and brought down below. The be'er of water, b'schis Miriam. The anane ha-kuvoid were b'schis Ahar Nakoyen. But the mon was b'schis Moshe. Teure and mon are synonymous, and Moshe symbolizes teure. Now, the Pusik brings down later on, and says, Vayoyme Moshe el Aharon, kach sinzenes achas, please take one container. V'sen shumum lo yo'oyme, and insert in this container a portion of mon. V'sen shumum lo yo'oyme mon, v'hanachoy so lifnei Hashem, le'mishmeres le'deresayche. Why is there no mishmeres, a container, for the Mebe'er? Why didn't they put a container of water to show how miraculously they had water in the desert? And so many other miraculous events that happened to them. And only mon was the one exclusive thing that was placed as a mishmeres. And where was it placed? So Rashi says on the word L'Doyrosaychem a very important insight, which brings us to the times of Yirmiyahu. L'Doyrosaychem, it says, Bimei Yirmiyahu, in the time of Yirmiyahu. Kishoy hoyu Yirmiyahu mochicham, when Yirmiyahu was rebuked, Klal Yisrael, to say to them, Lomo ein atem oiskim b'toyro, why do you not apply yourself to the study of Torah? The Haman women, what was their defense? Naniach melachtaini, are you going to leave our work and just desert it? Venasek b'toyre and study Torah? Meheichen is panus, viet vuhum panuse. The old question when I was a teenager, was it on the tachlis? Hoitzilem sinzenes hamon. So he took out from there and removed the container of the mon. And umalohem, atem ru'u devar Hashem, see, observe, spectate, look. Why? Shlimu lo ne'ema, not listen, we're not telling the story. Here it is. This is the actual mon. There it is in the container. Buzen isparnes yavesaychem, our forefathers got panusa from this. There's plenty of ways the Rebbein Shalom can find the wherewithal in order to find you panusa. And saying panusa as a defense for absence of lippen the Torah is not a satisfactory excuse. So, on that, the mon was all toiv, there was only good in it, because it had no psoilis, there was nothing, no residue, nothing negative, there was no ra. Consequently, the mon was entirely absorbed into the body. The Torah too is toiv. Kilekach toiv nusati luchem. So therefore, that spiritual food of the mon was the sustenance before Kabbalah Satorah. Spiritual food reaches the mind. Neshumu shebemoichi, where the Torah is learned. Therefore, the Torah describes the mon as oime lagilgoyles. It's a food for the head, not a food for the kishkes. Which brings us to the third part, which is mon, with reference to the chet of Udam Rishon. The Arizal says that all of Gulos Mitzrayim and the Geula ultimately was to give a tikkun and to correct the chet of Udam Rishon. The climax of the Geula was Kabbalah Satorah. The level that Yidden reached at this point was described in the Gemara and Shabbos, Poskur Zuhamuson. The poison injected by the Nuchash HaKadmoini had disappeared. The mon was Lechem Abirim. It had so refined them in preparation for this sense of purity, and this state of purity. This heavenly bread did not come through the medium of earth, where wheat is normally grown. Rather, it came directly min ha-shumayim. Hineni mamti luchem lechem min ha-shumayim. This alludes to the chet of the Nuchash HaKadmoini associated with death through earth. Ki me'ufo atu ve'el ufo tushiv. And again, Aruro hu adumo. All that the snake eats tastes of earth. And the snake brought man back to earth through death. The mon had no association with earth. There was even a shichva satal to protect it from crushing the earth when it landed. Rabbi Rabbinim of Shishre questions this curse of the snake, that everything that he eats actually tastes of earth. And he asks that it seems to be like a blessing. In fact, the Gemara mentions it. He has ready sustenance wherever he goes. Wherever he turns, the earth is there, there's abundance of it. He never has to worry about what he's got to eat. So the Rabbi Binam says, the message was, Fress, ich will dich nicht hören. Eat, you have what to eat wherever you turn. You'll never have to worry about hunger. But they never want to hear you. And the ultimate curse is when the Rebbein Shalom says, he doesn't want to hear your prayer. And the mon was the complete antithesis to this. Because daily the Rebbein Shalom wished the ultimate dependence and the complete dependence of the Eden and the tefillis of his children waiting for them, as they waited for the mon to come day by day. In fact, the Medrash compares it, to use a current analogy, to a person who sends his child to yeshiva. So he gives him a visa card, he'll never hear from him till Pesach. And if he sends him bits of cash with people who are going, then the next couple of weeks he can rest assured he'll get the telephone call. Hello, Daddy, how are you? Everything okay? Yeah. I need money. Which brings us back finally to the inyan of mon and bituchen. The main theme and the message for us of the mon is that the mon was a source of bituchen. Paul Reichman was interviewed by Time magazine many, many years ago. And the correspondent asked him, Mr. Reichman, what is the secret to your success? And he said, there is a Jewish concept called mazel. It's another word for divine assistance. I venture to say that 99% of the success is due to mazel, and 1% is due to acumen. But I would gladly substitute the 1% for mazel too. The Neumel Melech writes, Hineni mamtiluchem lechem en hashmayim. Why does the Torah use the word of mamtiluchem? Mamti is a lotion of mutor, rain. And the rain comes down from above, as it does in England with such abundance. And we take it for granted. Rain is synonymous with panusa, because the people in the fields cannot have their crops grow without it, as we see in those dry lands. Panusa is also taken for granted. We go to work, so we make a living. But the mon was a profound miracle. Every day the fact that rain mon from heaven, panusa is equally a miracle. Every single day that the person gets panusa, it's a gift from the Ribbono Shel Olam. If we believe that we control our income, then we've lost the plot. And the hashpur, and the direct funnel from where that brucha and shefa comes, is severed. Therefore, the Torah uses delusion. If it was v'yutzuhu om lilkot, if they went out, what does it mean that they went out? That they stepped out of the domain of the miracle. V'yutzuhu om. Then, v'loktu devar yoim b'yoimoy. Okay, you want it your way? You'd have to slog on a daily basis on their own steam to make panusa, because you're out of the picture. You're not anymore in the miraculous belief that mon and panusa come directly from above. If you work harder, you earn more money. So the fallacy goes. Says the Be'emayim Chaim, that it makes absolutely no difference to your income if you are a workaholic and you're behind your desk at 7 and you leave at 11 o'clock at night. He says, V'loy hediv hamarbe v'hamamid. No difference if you're going to increase and expend more hours at work or less hours at work, because the amount of panusa will remain the same. Because hamamid loy hechsir. The one that spent less time in his investment and time towards his business never lost out because of minimal hishtadlus. And if you want to know how much hishtadlus really is, then please consult your rabbi or consult your inner self. Because there is no mitzvah to fulfill the curse of bezeas apecho, Toichal lechem lemahadrin min amahadrin. We could all be on the train to work right now. But we choose to put our tzinsenes hamon next to the uroim, which is synonymous with Torah. To start our way, the Torah way, to start our day, the Torah way, and the Eibush should help, we should pass the Nisoyoin of Hayelech the Seirusi Imloy. Thank you.